I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Round 9 episode of the SC Report. There was no Team This Tuesday podcast up yesterday. Sorry about that, just didn't have the time. But we're going to run through all the teams today. And as per usual, Justin, thank you for coming on board. I thought you might have been a no-show after your rough morning.
Well, it was my morning, mate. I had a fine morning. We got out in the sunshine, the fresh air, played a bit of solo sport. Less said about that, the better. But, yeah, it's just good to get out of bed.
You're pretty cranky, mate. You're pretty cranky.
Yeah.
There was a moment there when Shockey and I thought that you were going to talk to us for a couple of holes.
Well, I can't delete the chat if it's real life, so no.
And I am actually quite surprised that you're joining me tonight. I thought that you weren't going to talk to us today, but no, you're here. You've turned up. You must be in a much better mood. And now you've got your beer into your mug, which is a great symbol of the JT that we know. So thank you. I really appreciate it because you are going to carry this podcast. You are ranked,
ranked
in the top 3,000 or so, I think, compared to me, 31,000. Nothing I can do this year is making any difference. So I think I might have mentioned on a chat that you are back in yesterday. I said, why am I even bothering? But that is it. We love it, and we love thinking about the trades, and that's also what we're going to be focusing on today too. So, JT, what do we have coming up on today's pod?
Well, a bit of everything. So, I mean, it's probably best we start with one of the good things we've done all year. Like, our super coach is not going that ideally, but our best bets, all the money going to Movember. How good did that go last round?
Well, flying, but mine, I was pretty happy with that. But talk me through yours. You had an absolute scorcher.
And it's a rare occasion where that actually pays off. But yeah, I tipped the Storm, I think it was 1-12 with Josh Adokar, anytime try score, paying about $9. So that was the big opener bet to start us off. And courtesy of a Brian Pappenhausen field goal. I don't think he's ever kicked one in his life, apparently. And the old penalty given away by Jake Friend. So it just like all the pieces fell into place. Great Kickstarter, $10 on that one. It's a nice little $100 bonus to our kitty. So Movember, we're flying 2 from 2 because you carried us home.
Yeah, I did. I had a little cheeky multi with the Knights, -1.5. Luckily got the extra half a point. Some of the bookies wanted it back in just before kickoff, so got that. And then had the Rabbitohs minus 11.5, which proved to be very, very handy. I think it was Gagai that got the intercept with about a minute to go just to carry us across the line. So, yes, very lucky there. But all the money raised will be going directly to Movember. So we started off with a $100 kitty. So now what, we're sitting with $230 in that kitty now. So a fantastic start. We'll give our best bets at the end, but that's just where we're sitting. So all funds raised for Movember. We're going to have a bit of fun with this throughout. So just stay tuned and we'll give our best bets and also a long shot. Before we jump into the teams, just a reminder, if you haven't subscribed yet to the podcast, please do. It helps you find the pod automatically on whatever platform you're using. And then also, if you haven't had an opportunity to review the podcast, please also do that. We like the feedback and it also helps us with jumping up the charts a little bit. Okay, let's get on to the teams. Your boys versus the Roosters tomorrow night. Justin, talk me through what's happening there. A few shocks.
Yeah, well, they're not my best bet like they were a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, Hammer Time, Hamiso, HTF, into fullback, and Valentine Holmes, the million-dollar man on the wing. That was the news coming out of Tuesday. But then we've heard today, Jonas have had a real good day of it. So they've just come out and said Valentine's
coming. Even they what? The Broncos, Titans, backflipping. Well, I don't want to get into another Barney with the Brisbane-based journos, but they've had a shock in the last 24 hours.
Mate, they ganged up on you big time. We were talking about how chummy they are and how a little bit too cute they are with the whole Broncos hierarchy, given the one-team town and the fact they're owned by the News Limited. The tough questions aren't getting asked there. But, yeah, back to the Cowboys and Roosters. So Val Holmes apparently did his ankle at training, but then I think the Mole tweeted that out of all people, and then the clubs apparently texted in to say, no, he's fine. He made it through training and he's going to play. So no idea what's going on there. The ankle is obviously the one that Val did against the Warriors a couple of weeks ago, and you know he was sort of rushed back last week. But yeah, big news there for Hamiso owners. So a lot of people brought into him as a cheapie a couple of rounds ago, and yeah, he was rested last week, but given full faith. So really excited to see how he goes here. It's a very tough assignment. The Roosters, the way that they've been playing this year, they're unreal, and I think a lot of super coaches are jumping onto players they can get left, right, and centre. So outside of that, nothing too much doing for us from a super coach perspective. Poor Jazzy O'Neill, Tom Up and Chick, they go. But deck chairs on the Titanic. Okay, it's this pure blonde. But yeah, for the Chooks, so a couple of changes for them. Ryan Hall replaces Daniel Tupou, who's out with a syndesmosis injury. I think 8 weeks was the quote for him. So big Ryan Hall comes into the side around 350 odd k. Very interesting proposition. Going forward, he didn't have the best of years last year, and the coming off the knee injury as well. And I don't think he's had a start, maybe one or two this year. But yeah, he's still searching for his first NRL try. But very interesting option this year.
On Hall there. So he's played the two games this year. I think scores within the 40s, but really the base is what's doing it. So what's appealing for me, I think. 34 base so far across those two games. Break even in the 30s and price at 360. And if you can get a Roosters winger, it's priced at that point. We've seen what Morris has done and also Tupou so far this year. So with that base, just how well they're playing, as you pointed out, there's got to be attacking stats there. So I definitely wouldn't be telling anybody who's thinking about bringing Hall in this week to not. I think it's a great play. And if I had a third trade this week, I'd probably be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they've just got options all over the park, as we've said. So, I don't know, I'm a little bit more hesitant to go a guy like Hall. He's already that awkward sort of 334K. Hasn't shown a great deal in his short stint in the NRL. So I think...
Superstar over in the Super League, though, and has been hampered by an ACL. So second year back from that. So it's generally the year that they start to perform. But
that's true. But it is an interesting year. So he's sat on the sidelines for this long and had a couple of games, as you said, but really not enough to get the match fitness up, and he's getting on in years. So, I mean,
we haven't made a stake bet in a while.
Sure.
Are you open for a little steak bet? The restaurants are back fine. We're not in Victoria. We can actually go and live our lives.
Thank God for that.
Look, I'll bet a steak, Justin. And I know if I lose or win this, I'm really winning because I get to spend some more time with you. So I'm happy to do this. I think that Hall averages over 55 points per game until Tupou comes back.
So discounting his first two games, I suppose, with his 45 average from those?
Yep.
55. Well, the mighty Cowboys might steal their defense up and maybe just let all the points go through Brett Morris's hands. So sure thing, mate. Just yet another stake bet you won't pay out on. Shout out Sparky.
Lock it down. Oh, that's rubbish, mate. How many tickets to the Suncorp Stadium do you want?
They're not stakes, mate. You can't eat the tickets. But, Ryan Hall, 55 or 54 and under. So, yep, I like it. Let's do it. Lock it in.
Let's move along. We've spent 5 minutes on the freaking Cowboys again. So the other big noise there is Cordner out with the HIA. Titans versus the Warriors, which is their first Friday game. I don't know. This could be Who knows what's going to happen? I think the line here is 1.5 points. It's basically a pick 'em. No idea. So for the Titans, you've got Ferner that's shifting from the edge to the centres. Impressed last week. Bottom dollar, second row, edge forward. Scored, I think, 79, but that's could be short-lived. So we'll see how it goes there. Could be a bit of an AE nightmare if that's what is going to happen. And you got Spirits debuting on the wing. That's an interesting one. But again, are we really that interested in a Titans winger? Probably
what was
not.
His name? What did you just say?
I'm going for Spiri.
Spry, S-P-R-Y.
I did say that.
Spiri, righto. Sorry, continue.
I've had a beer and a half. Tavanga is back for the Warriors. And what do you think that kind of impact is going to have on your boy, Tohu?
He's very much a shining light for my year this year. But, that's been the risk. Jazz has been out extended since basically the COVID break. And we've always been wondering when he comes back, he's just that gun through the middle. He's basically going to play the role that Tohu did in a couple of weeks. But for now, he's coming in off the bench, so being eased in. I think they've got Carl Lawton named at the lock position this week and Tohu on in the 12. Not that that's meant much for Tohu over the last couple of months. He just plays through the middle and gets the job done. But I think, unfortunately, if I'm going to be the pessimist here, I think as a Tohu owner, I'm probably holding on for him for a couple more weeks just to see how he goes, maybe if he does shift back to that edge. But I think if Tavanga comes back in the form that he had, maybe not so much last year, but the year before that, he was just, offloading beast, tackle machine. I think, that's probably he's going to steal those sort of base stats from Tohu. And Tohu's been all base this year, so very few attacking stats. It's been his work rate through the middle that's made him such a gun.
Enough, mate. I know you love him. I know you love him.
But I'm saying, like, in a couple of weeks, I don't have high hopes for his the Warriors team and having him on the edge. Like, he started the year there, and I think he got a couple of 50s. So if that's the case, then you might have to move him on and upgrade him. But he's done his job.
Oh, he's been fantastic. So don't get nervous yet, owners, but just see how this plays out. I think Tavanga has been known to cop an injury as well here and there, so he could be, just wait and see how this plays out. Nikarima is out with the HIA, so that's been a bit of a failed experiment, I think, if you were looking to bring him in as a bit of a pot option. South's first Tigers in the second Friday game. So Braden Burns is out for the season, which then opens a spot for James Roberts. So Roberts had that -4, I think, last round or the week before. He's got a break even in high 80s, I believe, this week. So he's going to be close to 300K or something for next round. And at that price range, it's worth a look.
Yeah, it is. He's been eased in off the bench and had those couple of spells. That's why his price is down so high. But, if he's the James Roberts of old, yes, but huge question marks over where his head is and the form he'll carry. But with that huge break even, we can look at him.
So the Sharks versus the Panthers, I think this is the first game on the Saturday. You've got Matt Moreland out again with a soft tissue injury. Just seems to happen every couple of weeks. Just feel sorry for him and for the Sharks having invested in him as well. Josh Dugan moves to fullback. That's going to be interesting from a super coach perspective. I think I like to see Dugan there. But what that also does mean is that the left winger should actually get some ball finally. So I'm interested to see what happens to Sione Katoa because I think that Katoa did play on the left wing for two games after the we came back from our COVID break, and one of those games was with Ronaldo and the other game was with Hirotti. So let's just see what happens there. But if you're an owner of Katoa, you just wait and see, and let's play this out. And then To'o is out for a while, I think about 3 months, it seems, with a bad ankle injury. That sees Brett Naden come in onto the wing. For the Broncos and the Bulldogs, I mean, this is another pick'em game. Bloody hell, 5:30 on a Saturday. Absolutely crazy. No changes to the 17 last week for the Broncos. Absolutely amazing. But you've got Stags and you've also got Matty Lodge on the bench. So probably going to see some changes here, I think. They've picked Oates in the second row. We're going to talk about him a little bit later on. But I can see him probably getting dropped with Lodge coming in, Pangai then moving to the back row. But we'll see what happens. This side could change a lot. Coming into the game day. The next one is Luke Thompson makes his debut for the Bulldogs. So he was an impressive player in the Super League, but But he doesn't come in at a cheap price. So you're talking about Ryan Hall being awkwardly priced, but I think Thompson's at 480. So that kind of value, you can't really go near him, can you?
No, not at all, especially in a Bulldog side. And the guy was, I think, training in the gym by himself for 2 weeks while in lockdown. So match fitness is you know, non-existent. And you've got a guy like Fatala Mariner who's killing it there in a way for the Bulldogs. So I mean, he's the guy you'd look to. But I guess not much else to say about the game other than that, you know, I live in Brisbane or whatever. If you're a dead set Broncos fan and you want to call yourself that going forward, you get down to this game at Suncorp and you cheer your boys on. Why can't you go?
Because they're not letting anybody in other than members.
They are. You can go, and I'm sure that the 10,000.
I'm telling you, I tried last time, and you know, I'm pretty fortunate, haven't paid for a ticket at Suncorp for about 10 years. Well, that golden ticket got thrown out the window recently, and try to purchase my ticket to go and see the Broncos, and was told, no, you can't, because they've been allocated to members. And then I was very disappointed that if they didn't get 10,000 or whatever, that they're only allocating tickets to members. And I think the Broncos have got a lot of members, and also they've got Suncorp Stadium members as well. So it is quite difficult to go. So for just the average punter out there, agree, but it is a bit of a challenge with how they're running a ballot.
That's fine. But the thing is, I'm just over the whole of the Brisbane Broncos fan base turning on their side. I mean, you stick with them through the tough times. I'm just sick of that.
Just stop being angry. I don't think I've seen a smile on your face for about 3 weeks. Like, it was golf, the Cowboys. Every time the Cowboys lose, you just disappear. And now you've got a massive chip on your shoulder because the Broncos, yes, well, so what? We're not a poorly run club and we've always been successful. Boo fucking who?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The tough times build character, mate. When that field goal went over by JT in the 2015 grand final, all those years of, you know, running wooden spoon, and we didn't beat you guys until 2004. That's how long it took. It builds character. You guys need to back your team in the tough times if you're going to enjoy the good ones.
It builds character, and I would think that as a Cowboys fan, you'd have a little bit more resilience than what you show after a loss. You literally, it's like you've disappeared for 48 hours. Oh, Cowboys playing, see you later, JT. I mean, if you're talking about a bad side, like, surely you're just used to them losing.
I'm not used to having to listen to your rubbish while your side is going so terribly, mate. That's the worst part. You like to dig it in. Similarly with your golf today, mate. I mean, I was just as bad as you and our side.
I can see your face right here, a little bit rattled.
Our sides are as bad as each other, so I can't even join. Anyway, let's move on. Raiders.
I'm sorry, JT. You know I love you. so just the last thing on the Bulldogs. I know you just made a comment about Thompson might not be a great super coach performer because it's the Bulldogs. But what I would say is the Bulldogs forwards have actually been quite good this year from super coach. Look at Aiden Tolman's killing it. Adam Elliott was performing really well. And then you've got RFM that's also doing some really good stuff as well. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah,
I'd say you wouldn't jump on this way.
No, I mean, Aiden Tolman's, you know, the most serviceable prop in the game. He doesn't do anything flashy, but
70 points or something last week.
Yeah, that's it. And he always does. No matter what, when the Bulldogs are down on forwards, he's the guy that steps up. 65 minutes last week. If he can continue to get that, he's a great buyer. But yeah, you just don't want to see a lot of Bulldogs in your super coach side. Unfortunately, they can be poison at times.
All right, let's move on to the Raiders versus Storm. Before we do that, you're right, JT. We're okay. We're friends again. We're all good.
We're lucky. We're socially distant, mate.
Raiders versus the Storm. So this is spoiler alert. I do like this game from a betting angle. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. So there's huge injury issues at the Raiders in the forwards. They're pretty depleted at the moment. So Horsburgh gone, Bateman gone, and now they've lost Gurler and also Soliola as well. So some pretty big injury news there. What that does point to me is that Papali could be set for some big minutes and possibly a pretty big increase in his supercoach output going forward.
Yeah, he's always a tough one to watch because I've looked at him last week when I was trying to trade in a prop forward and I ended up with Clemmer. I just looked at Papali and the only games he's really scored big so far this year have been when he's scored tries and he does get across the stripe every now and again, which helps. But just week to week, the base isn't there. Whether that changes now that he's got to, you know, have a bit more of the workload going forward is the question. But based on what he's done so far this year, and a guy similar in a similar vein is Marty Tapau, who we'll get into. But just so far, I haven't really liked what I've seen from Papali from a base standpoint, and that's what you want as a front row forward. But the guy,
he's got that.
Sorry,
you go.
I was going to say the guy I was interested in last week, just to see how he went, was Hudson Young. So the guy that's been out for you know months and well, I guess a year almost with this eye gouging thing, but he came back and I think he had a couple of line breaks in his first game back, and last week he again played the full 80, but didn't get through the work rate I thought he would. So he's a guy that I thought, given all the injury carnage going on there and the Bateman stuff and all that business, he'd step up to the plate. So he's one I'm keeping an eye on at 374K, but based on last week, I probably wouldn't. Yeah, he hasn't set the world on fire. But, yeah, there's a lot of interest there. But I think in the end, the way the Raiders play their game is just, you know, they keep the rotations fairly steady. The bench guys will continue to get decent minutes. I don't see Papali pushing out 60 or anything like that, 65, which would make him a very valuable option. But, yeah.
Oh, well, it was punching out higher 50s before last week. I think he had minutes of 50 or 45 last week, and before that he was close to 60. So let me just bring up those stats now. But as I'm doing that, just briefly just talk through and what you're saying about versus Tapau. I think that he has shown it historically, but he does have an ability to score a try, which is, you know, I think does separate him a little bit. And need those stats from the past years, but from memory, he has performed really well over that second half of the year. Takes a little bit while to gather that that fitness, but once he does, it's good to see. So in round 7, 61 minutes, round 6, 54 minutes, round 5, 59, 59, 51, 45, and 50. So
is it going to go up, though? That's the thing. Like, he's already, you know, almost at an hour for some of those games. Like, I don't really see too much of an uplift in minutes, despite the injuries there. But yeah, he didn't have a game over 60 outside of the two games he scored tries in, which, you know, I looked at that and just thought Dave Clemmer is a guy that just offloads at will. He'll bank a 70. He won't get the attacking stats. I don't think he's scored a try in years, but, front row forward to pair with Payne Haas, Papali's your more like draft pick, I would say, the guy that's going to go large occasionally.
I mean, if you have a look at what he did last year, started the season average 59, middle of the season 58, and then came home in rounds 19 to 26 with an average of 80.
Which is surprising because that's usually post-Origin, which Papali would play all three games in. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he seems to just take a while to get fitness, but from memory as well, there was quite a few tries scored. I don't remember if you recall, there was probably like 4 weeks or 3 weeks in a row that he just kept on scoring tries. And I think potentially he's going to do the same thing now, but one to watch, definitely, if you're looking to shore up that front row, excuse me, position. Let's move along to the Knights versus the Eels. This is going to be a pretty interesting game. This one, I think. So the Knights have got some pretty big, well, pretty large injuries with Lee and Matarutai as well. What are your thoughts on Tex Hoy coming in for Lee on the wing?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, you need your resident Knights expert Lakey to answer this one. But 185K on the wing.
Available at 5'8", though, which makes him quite interesting.
Yeah, especially because a lot of people are carrying Jerome Luai, even playing him week to week as Mr. 11th himself, Nick Kirkup, is. Still don't know how that's going. But, yeah,
it's COVID year, mate. It's 2020.
it's crazy old year. But, yeah, if you wanted to downgrade someone that, you know, potentially you'd look at Tex Hoy, but you worry about him in the back end of the year when, you know, we talk about AE nightmares, auto emergency nightmares.
Just snuff him.
Well, that's it. Guys that are going to come on down the track and play, you know, 5 minutes and score 2 points and ruin any chance of a loop and that sort of thing. Yep. Tex Hoy just has that written all over him. I know the injury to Edric Lee is a bit of a long-term one, but you're thinking beyond that later in the season. I don't think, yeah, I haven't seen much out of Tex Hoy, but would, you know, inspire a lot of confidence having him on the wing and making a massive cash cow.
Look, to be honest, man, I think he's actually been quite good whenever I've seen him come on and playing in those short bursts that he has this year. So just having a look at his minutes. And the one game that he played, so I remember he replaced Ponga at fullback in round 3. had 54 points in 90 minutes. Apart from that, so if you look at last week, I think he played 74 minutes with Idrickley going off quite early, only for 24 points. So that's what can happen. But that game against Manly was pretty defensively difficult for either side to score too many points, Supercoach perspective. I mean, why I'm probably going to look at bringing him this weekend is that it does I really like the fact that he's in 5'8", so what I'm able to do is shift Luai to halfback and allows me now to have a cover for both SJ and also Cleary if anything happens to those guys, because I can switch Luai with SJ if needed because they're both duels. And then Hoy is my backup 5'8". We'll never, ever play him, but just hopefully maybe he can jag a couple of tries, earn a bit of cash and then nuff him out in 6 weeks or something. And then he's I've missed out on the likes of a HDF and a couple of those guys and Tuala and missed out on the cash generation there. So I need to see something else is my thoughts. Ponga, he's been named. So we're going to talk about him soon as well. But HIA, there was a little bit of doubt, but he's been named. So that's good news.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's his second one for the year, though, and late in the game as well. So he recovered from his last one and played the next week. But again, as the season wears on and he keeps copping these head knocks, that's always a concern. But looks to be fine for this one, which is good. But yeah, we'll get into him. But yeah, it's a very interesting one.
And then for the Eels, you've got Yutoi Kamanu, who will make... name for the Eels. So he's one to watch. He was a bit of a darling of the preseason from memory. So it'll be good to see if he can do something from a Supercoach perspective. But I guess the coaches are getting a little bit past downgrading to cash cows at this point in time. And Nathan Brown returns from suspension. So they're the changes there. For the Dragons, the last game of the round, before we take a quick break and come back with our trades discussion. This is pretty interesting and it's... We'll see if this happens, but McGuinness has finally been named at lock and Hunt will start the game at hooker. What are your thoughts? Do you reckon they'll stay that way or make a late change before the game?
Oh, it's really weird because you look at the bench and they've got four forwards. So is the assumption there that Hunt plays 80 or does Hunt play the first stint and then McGuinness shift to there and just do the reverse of what they've been doing the last few weeks? I really
think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, now McGuinness is playing at lock through the middle. Tarek Sims being back pushes him out. So big question marks on McGuinness for mine. So if I'm looking at, you've got Crichton, you've got Maddo, you've got Torhu, who we've spoken about, and a few of these other guys, including McGuinness in your second row, and you're looking to bring him in, I'd be a little concerned about McGuinness just because we don't know how this is going to play out.
What's going to happen.
Yeah, and what the rotation will be.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking that, and I've got no idea. I'm just...
We knew that. We've known that for years, mate.
Yeah, I'm just talking shit right now, but this is potentially maybe they're not getting enough out of Hunt after he comes on, and because I thought the play would be that he'd come on when the forwards have tired a little bit and just make a couple of cheap runs out of dummy half, but not really getting that. So maybe what they're going to do is start Hunt at hooker and then look to shift McGuinness to hooker when the forwards get tired, because they're probably, McGuinness is having a fantastic year and making a lot of darting runs and stuff. So maybe they just think they're going to get more out of it that way by reversing it. So who knows? Don't know. We'll find out. It's Mary. We've got no idea what's happening.
For Manly, Fanua Blake, he's out for 2 weeks currently, but I haven't really looked into this, but they're looking at a further suspension for the guy. He carried on with it.
So I think hot off the press, and I was just having a look there, but I'm pretty sure that he's just getting a $20,000 fine instead of a further suspension. So on 50% or 70% pay or whatever they are, that's a bit of a stinger this year. I mean, the obvious impact here is Martin DePauw. So he was shaping up as one of the buys of the week, I'd say, priced just a little bit above 400K, which is super cheap. He's probably set for a bigger role in the side without Fanua Blake.
Yeah, again, like Papali, I haven't seen much from him to suggest he's going to step up and fill in those extra minutes and that kind of thing. But we're going to get into the segment a bit later on, but definitely a fall in gun at the price there. And you look at some of the forward pack, they've got Paseka also a starting front row and not the big motor and that sort of massive output there. So Tapau is going to be the guy that needs to carry him on. So if there's ever going to be a time that he steps up, it will be now. But if I can, 10 seconds before we go on, this AFB stuff with the referee, if the referees called AFB the stuff that he shouted at them, like, we'd be calling for the ref to be sacked. That's that bad. And I think you get fans coming out and saying it's in the heat of the moment and all this sort of stuff. Well, that doesn't wash, because how many other players have, maintained their composure? You look at Daly Cherry Evans after the game. He acknowledged it was a referee's call. They had the 80 minutes to play the game out. AFB, it's disgraceful. You cannot abuse someone in your workplace like that. I know it's footy, but that's just not on. If the shoe was on the other foot, the referee would be sacked.
You are fired up tonight. Well, but yeah. I like it. That's a good point. But you're dead right. That that post-match press conference or post-match interview that DCE gave is probably, that's the reason why he's the captain of Queensland and Fenua Black's, well, he can't be, but in terms of a leadership role, I thought that was outstanding composure from DCE and really spoke to where they're both probably at. So good points there, Tapau. We're going to speak about him. So let's just take a very quick break. We've hit the half an hour mark, so... pretty much bang on. Let's hit the break and then we're going to come back with trades.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so we're talking trades for round 9 now. Big questions of the week, JT. There's probably no bigger than what to do at fullback. We've got Gutherson, who's been amazing over the past 2 weeks, particularly with Moses out. Ponga is kind of suffering a little bit, below par performance against you boys, and then the HIA last week and score of 18, I think, or 19, and then Teddy up against the Cowboys, your boys featuring a lot, but a break even of 160. So heaps of discussion and thought here. Let's start with Gutho. Is he a buy?
Matt, I have deliberated on this. I'm not going to do it personally, but I just think back to last year when I bought Gutho basically on the same premise. He'd been killing it for a few weeks. His price was skyrocketing and all that. And we remember what happened at Magic Round.
It was fucking hilarious.
It was. And I vowed never again to go for the king. And I know, like, there's a couple of cons. He's had a couple of games against pretty useless opposition. And all of that, you've got Mitch Moses coming back, although it's looking a lot further away than we first thought. But again, you're buying a guy sort of on almost at his peak. And if anything, it's chasing last week's points. And if you look at his matchups over the coming weeks, they're a little tougher and you'd expect a bit more of a staunch defensive line this time around. So you got the Knights there at their home ground, which should make a difference for them. And then after that, you've got Manly, who are on a night game, who are pretty stingy themselves, and then the Tigers. So you're sort of really hoping that Gutho can carry that form on. On the other side, though, like it's almost the year just to make these sort of trades. Normally you'd say, and I'm assuming we're going the whole Ponga to Gutho thing. That's the deliberation a lot of coaches are going with.
Seems to be, yeah.
But yeah, like the whole thing, like don't trade out a gun and don't chase last week's points and all that kind of thing. But then on the other, you've got max trades. Why not go for it? So, you know, a lot of people will say, hang on to Ponga. He'll come good. But looking at his game over the last couple of weeks and the way that teams are kicking away from him, the fact that he's had two HIAs in 1 year, He just doesn't want to run the ball. So compare him to Gutho, who probably made like 20 runs over the weekend, was sniffing in and around the ruck because the Eels forwards love throwing offloads. Junior Paulo killed it last week. You compare him to Kalen Ponga, where the Knights forwards just didn't really aim up outside of maybe Clemmer. And you compare, like, he does kick goals, that's fine. So does Gutho. Like, yeah, you're trading one guy who looks to be on the rise with a guy like Ponga who's got a lot of crosses next to his name. The only reason I'm holding on to Ponga this week personally is just because I've got to firm the forward back up. So making a few big changes in the second row there. And, you know, I'm hanging on to Ponga on the hope that he turns it around. But if they keep with this game plan of not giving the ball to Ponga on the left edge and parking on the right, and just him being an absolute cat and giving the ball on whenever he's trying to run the ball back, like, yeah, why not go for Gutho this week?
Yeah, you've made some really, really valid points there. And I won't say I don't have too much to add because I do.
Sure. What do you, Gabe, just straight off the bat, would you trade out Ponga for Gutho this week?
Well, I'm in the exact that position, right? And I know that I've spoken to you already this week. It's one of my three options. I can't remember if I have because you probably left that WhatsApp group. But one of them anyway is Ponga to Gutho. And the thought there is exactly what you've said. You made some fantastic points. Basically, it's a cash grab in a sort of a weird way, right? You're trading out a keeper that's going to drop about 100K for a Gutho who is a non-keeper who could generate you 100K. And he's a stepping stone to Teddy. That's the only way that I'm looking at it. Otherwise, you're trading in Gutho this week, and then potentially in 3 weeks, you're trading Gutho back to Ponga and making the difference up. But then you've got Gutho who comes up against, I think they've got the Bulldogs and the Dragons, and I don't know if Moses is going to be back. So it's a very interesting option or decision to do. And if you had a watch last week, without Moses, they're definitely going left more. And it seems to really be quite beneficial to Gutho because he gets the ball from Brown and then seems to really favour his left side's passing. So cutting out the centre and going straight to Sivo happened 4 times and 106 points later, right? Yeah. So I can see it. But in terms of who they're playing next week, so what they've got the Knights and then they've got Manly, I believe. Yep. So the Knights have conceded the least amount of points to fullbacks this year. And then Manly's conceded the 11th least amount of points. So coming up a lot against a very difficult opposition. And the way that I'm looking at it is, and I think back to what I did with Munster, exactly your point, traded out a gun, Munster, for Drinkwater, cash generation, and just bit me in the ass, right? Munster looked gone. He said, this isn't working. All the stats with Jerome Hughes playing alongside him, it's just, and then he comes out and does 80s and 90s. So I'm backing Ponga in. He's a gun.
Yep.
I think he's better than Gutho, and I think he's going to outscore him over the next 2 weeks. And I need points more so than cash right now. So I'll be holding on to Ponga for that reason. I think he's too good a player not to turn around. He does not put in too many performances of what he's done over the past couple of weeks. And I can't see that the Knights will continue to keep him unutilized as what they are. If they continue to have close games.
That's fair enough. And, I mean, look, I don't know if it's a Bankwest factor, but the points are flowing there and Gutho doesn't play there for 3 weeks. And the week that he does play there again against the Tigers, Ponga's got the Bulldogs at home on an afternoon game. That's surely a game you've got to target as a Ponga owner that he's going to turn it around. So,
And don't forget as well that The Eels have been up for so long, right? They're due for a down game.
I don't know that they have because they plodded along after this COVID break and they weren't really setting the world on fire. They were winning games.
They've lost one game.
Well, they lost against the Roosters of all teams. But before that, it was scrappy little wins. They did flog you guys, flogged us. Oh. But outside of that, I don't know, they've been a bit scratchy and that was with Moses in the side. Without him, they've looked a hell of a lot better. But, yeah, and Gutho is a big, big part of that. That's why it's just – it's all like – if you don't have anywhere else on your side, they are.
And I think they're a good side.
If you want to strike while the iron's hot, Nick Kirkup is 11th. Like anything can happen in this game. If you're on the fence about Ponga, just I don't know, get rid of him. Make the trade if you're feeling risky.
I reckon that Yeah, I can just see them having a loss over the next 2 weeks. They're coming up against two pretty good sides, and Manly have proved even last week that they are a bloody good side, right? Even without Turbo. So they're very well coached and good, and then the Knights are a different level to what they have been in the past couple of years. So I can see them dropping one over the next week, and hopefully Ponga can turn around. That game against the Bulldogs is a great spot. Let's move on to Teddy. Now, if I'm going to sell Ponga to anybody after all of that discussion, it'll be for Teddy, not Gutho.
I don't need to make this call. I'm a Teddy owner. I'm more than happy. I called him out as the player I want to own at the start of the year, long term. So, you know, the price tag, I haven't even looked at it. What is he, like
900? 940, I think. 945?
928. With a break-even of 164, which is very much achievable.
Forget the break-even. Ignore the break-even. Just if anyone else is out there, just ignore it. It's the Cowboys. He scored 110 points last week from doing absolutely nothing. Not a try, not a try assist. Just amazing. Close to 40 points in updates. Like, just incredible. Like, he just has the game that is designed for Supercoach. Just the tackle breaks, offloads, runs, like, and the scorers love him. If you don't have him, which I don't, and I'm still considering bringing him in, and it would be effectively breaking my side because I'd be trading out Ponga and then nothing Arrow to get Teddy in, and I'm still looking at doing that. So if you're not an owner, it's been very, very painful over the past couple of weeks.
Cowboys, he averages 53 against them from seven games with a top score of 82. So I reckon we've got his number. So I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be trading Teddy in or captaining him. Maybe I should reverse.
The interesting thing, JT, though, that you and I have been speaking about when we have been friendly is that teams have struggled this year going up to Townsville after COVID, right? This is a night game, so they've got more time, but they still have to travel on the same day. It's a, two and a bit hour flight from Sydney. Yeah. Getting up there, got to get ready. You saw how the Knights performed.
Yeah, exactly. And, I think back...
No Cordner.
Cronulla did a pretty good job, but we were equally terrible that night early on into the COVID resumption. But, yeah, as you said, like Roosters went up to Suncorp last week, played a golden point game against the Storm. They would have been up for that tough loss to swallow that one. A fair few injuries coming out of that. So they're pretty battered. Long trip up there. They've had the week to think about it. But they've also got a grand final rematch the following week. So if ever there was a week for them to be complacent,
They're resting Cordner this week for that. So,
but I mean, you look at Teddy and just the way he hovers around the ball, and he just breaks tackles at will. Like, it's a scary thought. But yeah, it's a lot of cash to spend, and I mean, he's got to have a downtime at some point. But
well, he had a HIA.
He did. That's about the only thing. Well, that and COVID. If you're chasing points, then you know, bring him in. Join the 35% of coaches that have got him and won't have to worry for the rest of the year. But hefty price tag. I don't know if you're gonna have to break your side.
You will have to break. Now I'm looking at it. If I don't get him this week, it'll be definitely in two. If it's not this week, it won't be next week. It'll be the week after. So it'll be all kind of guns blazing. I think that I'll be bringing in Crichton instead, at a 200k cheaper price level, basically, and could potentially produce the same, if not more, points against your boys.
Yep. No, I really like that. I'm bringing Crichton in as well. Much less of a risk. And equally, you know, he's right for those attacking stats on our defense.
It's going to be a bittersweet moment for you tomorrow night, isn't it? Right. Only Teddy and Crichton?
No, I captained Ponga the other night against the Cowboys and he failed. So I've captained Teddy again. Maybe he'll fail and we'll win the game. Mm. So either way, I'm happy. Should be right. Or probably it'll be Brett Morris scoring all the bloody tries and points. So we'll see. Should we get on to my little segment that I've added in here? And it's
let's do it, mate. I know you've put a lot of effort into this 5 minutes, but let's go.
Please. So it's the fallen guns, and I use the term guns loosely if you listen to some of the names here, but players that have dropped at least 100k this season and are named to start this week. So 100K off this starting price. I've grouped them into to brackets here. The interesting ones, the unlikelies, they won't make much of that cash back, and they just don't do it. So I reckon we get the don't do it's out of the way. Anthony Milford lost 147K. Don't do it.
Bam. So,
yep, done. Orbogun, Mitch Orbison, the Mr. Fix-It. He's down to 247K. Jewel, but lost 163K. He's just going to go back to the bench. Corden has come back. Don't do that. Isaac Luke lost 113. No, don't do that. Josh Dugan, I've got him at don't do it. I know you talked about him as an interesting option. Do you agree?
I still wouldn't do it, though.
Yeah, 362K, 62 break even, lost 110.
He's been playing quite good, to be honest, if you watch the games. He's just not scoring. So, but I think that he could do okay at fullback, but the concern is just the durability.
Yeah, exactly. And he's held together for the so far this season, so he's due. Michael Cheekham for the Tigers, named center this week, 221K, lost a fair chunk, but you'll be there for a month while BJ's out. But
thanks, mate. I've been there, done that.
Yep. Michael Oldfield for the Raiders, 259K, named on the wing, 67 break even, lost 131. Yep, no. Jermaine Asako, another one of your boys, 274K, on the wing, kicking goals, break even to 60, lost 150K almost. Yep.
Cool. The run's over after this week, mate, so no thank you.
It was some run, wasn't it? You guys were all crapping on about it.
Well, and unbelievable. We just didn't realise that they were going to be that bad. Anyway, let's move along.
The guy's unlikely to make much back, but still, you know, you never know. Bailey Simonson, top of the list here, 221K. So I had him at the start of the year. That did not work out. Break even to 29, lost 136K. Yeah, if he gets the 80 minutes, but you've got Jordan Rapana there, so... Yeah, you know, he'll jag a try, but he's not going to be the week-to-week option you want.
Look, he's one to keep an eye on, particularly as we move into the season. So just have a look at the Raiders' draw. So for round 14, 15, and 16, they play the Broncos, Titans, and the Bulldogs. So if you can jag Simo Starr at around about this price, I don't think he's going to get moved too much, but from that period onwards, you could downgrade maybe an Averillo or something to him or even a Lomax. You can make a bit of coin there and have a guy that you can potentially be starting in 17 for a couple of weeks. So it is an option, but not for now.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Kotrick's there as well. He hasn't lost 100K. He's only lost about 30, but I'd probably go him over them own on those matchups. A couple of other Raiders here. Jared Croker, my boy, 371K. God, hasn't he fallen? He has fallen 124K, break even to 24. I've looked at him. I've watched basically all of his games this year. The poor guy he's a little yard behind the pace at the moment. We'll kick goals, but the Raiders haven't really kicked on this year. So
Jared Croker. Classic Raiders year of the down year after the big one. So watch him next year at a cheaper price.
Josh Hodgson for the Raiders, 400K, break even of 41, lost 100K. So, you know, we know he's been a gun of the past in that hooking position. But, you don't get points for one-on-one steals. So until they bring that in, you'd probably forego him. A couple of Sharks here, mate. Your boy Britt Nakora, you called him out probably 2 weeks ago. Hasn't quite kicked on, but he did score a try last week.
He's been as disappointing as the Broncos this year.
Yeah, well, I think it might have been his first try last week against the Tigers.
It was,
yeah. So, 428K, break even to 33. But I think that Sharks' handy run has probably come to an end. A couple of tough teams coming up. Andrew Fifita, 457K. So we talk about some fallen props. He's lost 100, but, looking
at... Not interested.
Yeah, no, that needs...
He's got one leg.
Disastrous.
Scored a try last week.
Again, yep. And a couple ones here, centre wings. Reuben Garrick, 380K, kicking goals at the Manly side. Lost 107K on his starting price, just hasn't scored the tries. Break even to 42.
All right, Ryan Hall.
Yeah, they seem to prefer going down that Tevita Funa edge, so probably no to Reuben Garrick there. Josh Adokado for the Storm, and he's one I swear comes up like this every single year. He'll go into these droughts.
He has a run of games, so he's one that I'm slightly interested in. And the reason why that I think that it's worthwhile keeping tabs on him, if you look at the Storm, so for round 10, they've got the Titans and the Broncos, and then in round 13, they've got the Bulldogs. So I am quite interested in Adokar as a bit of a pod play for round 10.
146K off his starting price, you're getting him at a discount, a break even of 32. So
why not, mate? And no Vunivalu in the side as well. So they're going to probably go to him a little bit more often.
Yeah, I mean, Adhikar just unfortunately has never been a consistent Supercoach option. So yeah, he's a risky play, but he's coming at the as we said, a very discounted price. Some of the ones I've got in the interesting category. So maybe people are thinking of these guys this week. Maybe it's matchup plays or whatever. All name to start. Let's go through them. Probably reconsider having him there. But Corey Oates, 247K. Completely forgot. Like David Fafita's just due back, and Matt Lodge might come back to the starting pack. But yeah, 247K for a starting second role.
Well, I mean, it's more the point of if he can somehow find some form, and the Broncos can amazingly or miraculously find form as well, and he gets that starting wing spot back priced around about that 230K, I mean, you have to look at that at some point. I think he's going to be very cheap next year. I mean, the issue is that he just looks so out of form, so I personally wouldn't be going near him.
Yeah, you can't pick players from the old East Tigers or Redcliffe or whoever the hell the Broncos sides are, so we'll see. One we've talked about here, Marty Tapau, 411K, break-even to 37, so his price has bottomed out well and truly. Lost 161K from his starting price. I know a lot of people probably had him in from that round one fixture, but, yeah, he's well and truly fallen. I think Catfish Wilfred is bringing him in this week, so that potentially is the kiss of death, I should say, so... Yeah, a lot of...
So who are we talking about here? I was just having a look at... There's another David Fafita update by our boys at the Kurimau.
Who's he signing for now, Cronulla?
Well, apparently the Titans have upped the ante to 1.25 million. That's
bleeding,
the latest report.
They're just bleeding the Broncos dry. I love it. Sabotage. Well done. But yeah, Marty Tapau, he's very much a, you know, he's a fallen gun.
I'm keen. If I could, I think I told you it was one of the moves that I was thinking about this week. It was going to be a giant arrow to a Marty Tapau was what I was looking at. If you have a look at his pedigree, so he hasn't averaged under 60 in the past 4 years. This year is definitely his down year. So you could do worse than locking him into your front row at that spot, I think. And you know what? He's a potential cash cow there to making you 150K or something. If he can pick it up, he scored 60 last week, which is probably more than what you're going to be expecting. So he's a definite option. But the one thing that I would say there is he's probably, if you've got everything else sorted, he is someone you'd be bringing in. But I if you don't have Crichton, if you don't have Madison, if you don't have Teddy, you just got to get these guys in first. Or even if Nathan Cleary, you've got to get these guys in first, more so than these 60 points per game kind of plotters, regardless of how cheap they are at this stage in the season.
Yep. I think he's played every game with AFB in the forward pack alongside him. So this will be his first test sort of leading that side around. DCE for the Manly side as well, 456K. Lost 120K off his starting price, break even of 6. So this is the week to get him if you ever are. I watched his game last week. He got a sin bin and still managed a 99. Phenomenal game from him. He was in everything, could have had another try, they disallowed it. But, yeah, I really liked his game. Didn't have a great start without Turbo the week before that. I think laced on one try with the game.
Still 59 points, though.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you got about 30 of them in that last play. But, yeah, DC would be a very handy downgrade for even just a straight trade from Mitch Moses, who still got him, and now that he's out a couple of weeks longer than we thought. So I really like DC as a value play there, but might have a few other fires to put out. RTS. Oh,
I do, but I agree with you, but I just think that Cleary streaks ahead of him at halfback. So unless you can't afford Cleary, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as sold on Cleary as some others this year based on watching him, but yeah.
Well, the Panthers' run up ahead is the reason why you're going to be quite if you don't have Cleary, I think you're going to be pretty sorry with yourself. So they've got the Sharks, Cowboys, and the Titans, one after another. They've got the Cowboys at home, mate. So I'm pretty – and then they've also got the Warriors and the Sharks not too long after that. So I can see Cleary just going ballistic. And don't forget they finished the season with the Broncos, Cowboys, and the Bulldogs.
Interesting player. But again, Jerome Luai stepped up and has stolen a lot of attacking points off Cleary this year. So DC's got, I think, Lachlan Croker there with him. So he's not going to suddenly turn into an attacking machine. But, cut price option. RTS, the next name on the list, 445K, got the Titans this week, lost 215,000. He has had a rubbish year on the Supercoach front, missed last week with suspension, break even to 66. Purely a pod play here, much cheaper than the likes of the Guthos and those sort of guys. So, just throwing a dart and hoping it sticks if you maybe 20 or 30,000 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ben Hunt, I've got him in the interesting list here because you just don't know what.
Really?
Yeah, 383K, playing in hooker, only available at halfback in Supercoach, break even of 54, lost 170K on his starting price. Obviously, the first year he's played full-time hooker, so who knows? He could turn into a tackle bot, we'll see. K-Brom, your boy from last year, hasn't he fallen a long way? 240K off his starting price to 381, break even of 70 this week. Zero attacking stats this year. Compare him to last year when I think we were at a game, probably got about...
Forget about it, move on.
5 tries, 10 try assists, 7 linebackers, 11 linebacker assists last year. Nothing to speak of this year. He's still playing 80-odd minutes every week. So, yeah, definitely a fallen gun. He's
he looked to be a little bit injured last week. Did his ankle or something and still fought back?
Yeah, that's it. That could explain the lower output this year, and the Storm haven't quite been the same side. But if they do kick into gear, you'd imagine it'll be on the back of a K-Brom and that firming into the attacking side. But, yeah, we'll see. He's definitely a fallen gun. He's the definition of it. Nat Butcher, we spoke about him last week, lost 160K off his starting price, break even at 50 this week, and still available 364K. So he didn't set the world on fire. He got absolutely dropped in the opening set, I think it was, and has picked up a rib issue as a result. But, yeah, last week he wasn't quite the base stat machine he was last year. Still, I guess, one to watch given the break even at 50 this week.
Yeah, he was obviously the hot one last week, but, like you, didn't see enough to make me want to jump on. But still a player that we can look to bring into our side next week at that price range.
Sounds good, mate. All right, well, out of that list, I'm going DCE as my option. Sounds like you're going to Tapau.
Oh, I like them both, DCE and Tapau. Both look great options. DCE without Trbojevic should score really well, and then Tapau is just rock bottom price. Would like to bring him in this week. There's just other things I have to do at a high priority.
All right, you want to quickly run through cheapies, mate?
Not really, but we're going to anyway. So, I don't think there's anyone here really that's at the top of the list because they've only played one game. Let's jump down to a few. We've already spoken about Tex Hoy. The other one is Tessie New. So, finally, he jagged some attacking stats last week. 53 points. Now is into the negative break-even territory, but under 200K. So, he's definitely a player that if you don't own, not a bad option. I think the Broncos are going to stick with him for a while. Signed a new one-year contract just this week, so I think that they will stick. Not too concerned about Clune. We've already spoken about Simonson and Cheekam, and Jay Field is not someone that I'm interested at all with. Moses probably around the corner. I think they're saying that he's probably back in 12 to 13 weeks. The only thing for Field is that he potentially comes enough, right? So you could trade to him if you thought you're going to play him, but he's not basement price at 230K, so someone that I'm probably not bringing into my side. Does that summarise it enough for you, JT?
Yeah, I think that's good. Although
we've got some good cheapies next week, I think. We've got the couple of the Titans boys and also your boy LaMelo as well.
Yeah, that's it. So there's a couple on the bubble there playing the second game this week. So, yeah, I'd be holding off. And if anything, I'm almost at the stage of nothing rather than worrying about cash generation. Done okay there so far, but yeah, sooner rather enough with some dual position players at bottom dollar and not have to worry about whether they'll keep their spot and make cash and all that sort of stuff. So yeah,
excellent. Well, before we jump into our best bets, JT, what trades are you making this week?
Let me just get it up. So I've got So last week I brought Clemmer in. That actually worked pretty well. This week I am getting rid of some of my second row forwards. So getting rid of Cohen Hess, he's gone, and Alicia Katoa as well, he's going. I'm bringing in Angus Crichton and Enough, so some random from the Sharks, can't remember his name, second row, front row, jewel. I would have preferred to get rid of Tanoa Brown, given his pretty hefty break even and just seems to be dropping cash. It's 57 break even. But I was just a couple of grand short. So Katoa and Hess out, Crichton and enough in. So hopefully Tanoa Brown can pick up his work rate. He's been a bit down, but yeah, it's my trades.
I mean, worst case, you could even be moving Brown onto to power next week if you want to as well.
Yeah, well, actually won't even be that far, will it? If it'll be, you know, 60, 70 odd K. So very much an option.
Mm. Yeah, well, my trades this week. So getting rid of Joy Arrow and finally your boy Drinkwater. God, that's been a tough one. But getting rid of them at this stage, going to bring in Angus Crichton, and then I'm going to downgrade Drinkwater to Tex Hoy with the potential of maybe starting him, particularly against the Bulldogs and a little bit of cash generation. But what that does do, as explained before, is that it does allow me to shift Luai into halfback, which gives me a lot of flexibility with him and SJ. So I'll be doing that, and Averillo then dropping into my centre wing and then bringing Crichton in for this week's game, but also then from a fantastic run of games not next week, the week after. Then they've got the Warriors and a few easy games. So we're both on Crichton. I'll be VCing him this week for sure. Let's move along to our best bets and also our long shot. JT, I'll let you take the honours, mate, after you cleaned up last week.
Yeah, it was very much a lucky one. But, this week for my sort of best bet, I reckon the Warriors are pretty good value against the Titans up at Suncorp Stadium there. They showed a lot of heart last week against your boys, fighting back and taking the win there. And I think the Titans just basically gave up against the Sharks. It was they're a side that needs a bit of luck and that sort of thing. And as much as it seems to be a coin flip, I reckon the Warriors with RTS back can get on a bit of a roll there. So I'm taking them 1 to 12, paying about $3 as my best bet. And this week I've brought in some bit of hired help. So I've got a very high IQ punter lurking in the wings there who wants to remain anonymous, I guess, until his bets start coming through. But he
is that Tim Staunton?
It is not. It's not bet on often. And he gives me very dud NFL tips that don't pay off. But, yeah, the good punter, as I'll refer to him until he thinks of a cool name, is going Adam Dewey into the Tigers at the line. That's paying about $6. So Adam Dewey to score a try into the Tigers at the line there. So that's the long shot for me this week. Nothing too exciting, but we'll see how that good punter comes through.
Excellent stuff. So my best bet of the weekend is the Storm at the line. I think they're giving up 1.5 points against the Raiders, and the Raiders are missing multiple players. We've seen that. Storm just came off a win against the Roosters, and I just like whenever you see the Storm within basically a penalty of any other side from a line, I think you just need to jump on that. I think that they should beat the Raiders quite comfortably. I don't think they're very good this year. I know the game is in Canberra, but it doesn't really bother me too much. The second bet, so this is my long shot of the week, and I'm going to be jumping all over a couple of anytime try scorers, multing them together. So Ryan Hall to score a try against your boys, Mike Sivo to score a try against the Knights, and then also Tex Hoy to score a try against Parramatta. All up multi for any time try scorer for those guys is paying $9.15. So that's roughly around about what your bet was last week that won. So hopefully we've got some winners there, JT, and we can keep our fundraising efforts for Movember kicking along this week. We've got our kitty. I think it's around about $235 at the moment.
No, it's fantastic, mate. Very much early doors luck. But, we've got the kitty. We've got it inflated. We'll see how we go. Maybe by the end of the year we'll call in some hired help as well. Maybe our friend Sparky, who's known to put on a wild multi.
If you want to lose all the money, you can do that. But
remember the time you won.
If you do work for a betting agency out there and you'd like to jump on this to help us raise the money for Movember, it's a great opportunity, only an email away. So at the moment we're investing, we invested $100 starting pots, and that's where we're at. But we've just hit the 1 hour mark, JT, so it's been fun. I'm really happy you joined the podcast again. I was a little bit concerned about you this morning. I look forward to playing golf with you again on Friday morning.
Yeah, mate, I would much rather be in bed when it was about 2 degrees outside and, you know, shanking them into the woods. So we'll see. Friday, I'll turn it all around. I might be high off a Cowboys win. You never know.
Yeehaw!
Thank you very much.
Well, I just stole your thunder. So on that note, let's end it there. Thanks, guys. Speak to you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.